covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Are you not entertained? What a game in Cincinnati. The Brewers left a million chances out there. They struck out like crazy. They made every defensive play they could. And ultimately, the guy who was 1-for-5 with 4 strikeouts saved the game with his glove. Jake Bowers, a diving stop on Ty France, ends the game. And the Brewers win it 5-4. They've won 5 in a row, 80 wins before September. Wild. Scoreboard watching here at the top of the program. The Phillies, they shut out the Braves today, 3-0. So the Brewers remain tied for the 2 seed, 80-56. The Dodgers just beat the Diamondbacks. They remain 2 games back of LA at 82-54. The Cubs won again, their 5th in a row as well. The Cubs came back to beat the Nats 5-3. The Brewers are still 10 games up on the Cubs, really 11 because of the tiebreaker, and their magic number sits at 16. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jackson Churio, again, makes our jaws drop. Jerry Augustine is with us here on the program, too. Augie, here is a 20-year-old making a legitimate bid in these final 26 games to be in the 20-20-20 club. 20 homers, 20 stolen bases, 20 doubles, and let's throw one more 20 on there for being 20 years old. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The only other rookies 21 or younger to do that are Ken Griffey Jr., are Mike Trout and Julio Rodriguez. That's pretty darn good company for Churio. He gets the game-winning RBI on a go-ahead home run to the top of the 9th inning. He had a double, a stolen base, and a homer tonight. I'm out of words. I can't keep describing this kid. He has been the best player on the team in the second half.
You can't describe him. He's been playing so well. And it's so interesting how we can date ourselves back a month or two, month or just a little bit two ago, and he had to do a little bit of struggling. A little bit of struggling at the plate, and a little bit of struggling in the field, just not going to get his game together. It takes veteran leadership to step in and calm someone down. And I thought the veterans were the Damas and the guys that the other guys and veterans in the locker room settled this kid down. So just go play your game. And I think Murph has a lot to do with it too. It's all about building that relationship that you have to have with your players, so they know that you're behind them 100%. And so the combination of veteran players staying with this young kid and Murph coaching him like you would coach anybody who's being a rookie by being patient, being positive. I think it's made a world of difference, but what can you say about what he's done over the last several weeks? It's just been absolutely fantastic.
When you look at his OPS now, to this point in the season, Churio, remember, he was not doing so hot earlier in the year. It's completely erased. It's like it never even happened that he's got a 782 OPS right now here at the end of August. Given when he woke up on June 2nd, he had a 574 OPS. I mean, this OPS never got below that, but that was the low point for him. And ever since that day, he's been a whole new player. And in fact, you look at the overall season rankings, like, he's not at the top, but he's like in the top 15, top 20 for the majority of the rate categories in the National League. 277 batting average, that's 17th. His on-base percentage sits at 325, which, again, with all that slow starts, that's in the top 50, not as crazy. His OPS, though, still hovering just below 800, puts him at 26. I mean, he's ahead of some established veterans. He's ahead of Matt Chapman. He's ahead of Andrew McCutchen. He's ahead of Matt Olson. He's ahead of Cody Bellinger. He's ahead of Corbin Carroll. He's ahead of Jonathan India. The kid is 20 years old, and the Brewers have him signed. What a stroke of genius for both parties. For Churio to say, I'll take it, and for the Brewers to say, you know what? We believe in this kid. We think this kid's going to be a star, and here he is.
He's a young kid, you know. The one thing about when you talk about Chirio and what his progression has been, they played him a lot in spring training to get him a lot of at bats, and that's one thing that was super important. Even the year before, they played him a little bit just to have him understanding how the speed of the game is on the major league level. But you know what? He made so many great changes. If we look back, Dom, and we talked about back in June, you watch this. If you look at every play at bat, trying to be very aggressive in the at bat, going after a lot of pitches outside the strike zone, not taking a walk when they give it to you, trying to be more offensively minded by swinging the bat. He is the exact opposite of that now. He's patient at the plate. He's taking what he's given. He's hitting the ball where it's placed, and he's driving in runs. And he's doing that from a point of saying, hey, I'm going to be patient at the plate. I'm going to slow the game down, and I'm going to look for my pitch. And when I get my pitch, I'm going to hit it. And he's done an excellent job at that, just being able to be patient at the plate and get the pitches and get in good hitters counts and really do well. He's done a great job at the plate with patience.
Today, 3-for-4 with a walk, no strikeouts, a double, a homer, the one RBI. He scored 2 runs. He stole a bag as well. I'm flabbergasted. The fact that this kid is 20 years old, the Brewers had the wherewithal to think that, you know what, this kid we think is worth it, that this kid is going to get through this slump, he's going to be patient. And I think back to spring training, Augie, when Chirio is the only thing anybody wanted to talk about in spring training, because obviously with what transpired in the offseason with Council and with Burns, and at that point, you know, Brandon Woodruff hadn't re-signed yet with the Brewers, so there was a whole lot of like, all right, well, what are you going to talk about? Yelly and Chirio, and they were side by side in the locker room. And I'll never forget Christian Yelich making it very clear. I've seen it. He's going to be good, but let's be patient. Give the kid a chance. And I'll repeat this too. It turned out to be a blessing in disguise that Garrett Mitchell and Christian Yelich missed time in the beginning of the season. Now, Christian Yelich would love to have him in the lineup right now, but the Brewers are now 22-13 since he played his last game. Over these last 35 games, they're 22-13 without him because Jackson Chirio has stepped into that void without skipping a beat.
He has. And, you know, you could take spring training, and I think that's perfect thing you said. Where was he in spring training? Where was he placed? Do you think he was placed next to Christian Yelich for a reason? You think they put him in the locker? Yes, because you want it, probably because they want that veteran leadership. Christian Yelich is a great leader. He's a soft-spoken guy at times, but he's a great leader inside that clubhouse and on the field. So where do you put the young kid that where all the fanfare and everything that's going on with him, where do you put him? You put him alongside Christian because they'll have their daily talks. They're going progressions. He can give them ideas on how to get better. And these young players, when they get to spring training, that's the best time to get them because they're just – they're soaking for energy. They want to get the energy to go out and play hard every game to show this organization where they are. And I tell you what, the intellectual part, the studying of the game and be mentally strong is as important as being offensively minded and just going up and swinging the bat, running the bases, playing good outfield. That mental part of the game is huge. And I think that if there's any place where he has really gotten better, it's definitely in that mental start part of the game where he's patient at the plate, taking what he's given, and just goes out and swings it back very well.
I think he's found a home in this 2 spot in the batting order and leading off against lefties too, because, I mean, he's, again, him and Contreras and Adames are the ones carrying things right now. And Blake Perkins might get a look up higher in the order here soon. Who knows? Because these kids, man, I mean, I understand, and I even talked about it at the trade deadline. Like, some folks were frustrated by not adding enough, and, oh, my gosh, what are they doing, all this stuff. Well, they just turned in their best month of the season today, finishing the month of August in the fashion that they did, winning the first 3, including a doubleheader sweep yesterday against the Reds. They are now, they just went 19-9 for a month. 19-9 in the month of August, their best month of the season by far. They've only had 1 month this year under 500. It was July. Even yet, they had a positive run differential in that month. And now you look at it for the Brewers, they had a plus 57 run differential in the month of August over these 28 games. They're not just winning games. They're winning close games. Sure, they're 24-20 in one-run games. But they're winning. They're controlling games. And everyone told me it was going to be doom and gloom after that Cardinals series. Brewers lost that one. They have rebounded in a big way, winning a series against the A's, the Giants, and now the Reds.
Yeah, and you got to play good in your own division. You look at how they're playing in your own division, 29-16. But this is a team you try to name a nickname for a club. I just say it's 27. Because each and every day, these kids go out, this team goes out, and they play as hard as they can for 27 outs. And when that game's over, they turn the page to the next day. And that's what you see out of this ball club. You look at different parts of the game that have really stuck out all year. You'd have to say it's been defense. Defense has stood out above everything they've been doing. Yes, they've been getting good pitching. Yes, they're getting good relief pitching. And yes, they're scoring runs at times. But their defense has really, over a majority of the year, has been right up there with the best in Major League Baseball. And it was proof tonight when you see Perkins grab the home run off and you see a great play by Bauer at first base. Those are the things that help you win ball games. Not that you're given a game, you win it. You definitely deserve that. And this team is playing really, really well right now.
Man, really fun with 26 games to go. Take our first break. Come back with more with Augie after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. We got to talk about a certain defender and a certain play leading into the starting pitching matchup that was today, given it was a bullpen day on the other side, Frankie Montas for the crew. The moment that Blake Perkins robbed the home run changed the entire complexion of this game, because already the game was tied after the two-run homer from Ahmed Rosario. Frankie was pitching well, and then Marte flies to deep center, and Blake Perkins robs what's officially his fourth homer. To the eye test, maybe it's his fifth. Nonetheless, he leads baseball in home run robberies to this point in the season. And that would be the last chance that the Reds would have to score a run. Once again, the Brewers bullpen kept them scoreless. They have not scored a run against the Brewers bullpen in these three games. And Blake Perkins, man, this dude's got to get the Gold Glove in center field, because it's been unreal how easy he makes it look.
Yeah, it's so interesting to watch these young players that you have in the outfield. Chirio's been a steady in left, and you get the other guys out there. You get Sal out in right, and then you get Perkins, who's been switching off in center field. So when you get these guys, all are very good defensive players. They go out and they play hard, and what they do is they get great breaks on the ball. They make good cut off the ball. You see them 90% of the time throwing the ball to the right spots. I think it's just kudos for this ball club. When you got Mitchell and Perkins and Chirio and Sal in that outfield, they just are playing outstanding defense. And you got to give a lot of credit to them. But tonight, that catch, I tell you, I agree with you. I think it turned the game around. I think if he's not able to make that catch, I think Cincinnati might have scored a couple more runs, been a little bit tougher to beat. But I'll tell you what, that changed the complexion, and the whole attitude of the game changed right there for the Milwaukee Brewer ball club.
Well, overall, though, I thought Frankie Montas pitched very, very well. He got in and out of trouble a couple of times. The fifth inning was a little frustrating with the Brewers, giving a leadoff walk. Leadoff walks always come around to hurt you, like they did in the sixth inning as well. The fact that he had three walks, two of them were leadoff walks, I mean, that's just going to hurt you any time. But Frankie wasn't bad. He didn't need to be perfect, but he still gave you six innings, and the Brewers bullpen was going to be thin. I still really enjoy what we've seen from Frankie and his multitude of fastballs. What do you draw from his six innings of work today in a no decision?
I like his competitiveness. He understands when he was traded over to this ball club, they were really going after a pitcher who could go out and give them innings, keep the team in a ball game and give them innings. And I think he's done that. I think he's gone out and he's pitched with his fastball really, really well. He locates on both sides of the plate, and then he's able to put his breaking ball off. Anytime you're a pitcher coming to the game, you have to say that I want to go as far as I can help this team win. And Frankie's done that. Every time he's been out, he's been deep into the ball games and throwing the ball very well, locating all his pitches. But I think he also understood that this is a team that has a good chance to go a long way. I can have an opportunity to do something very special, and that's why. Give this team innings. And if you look at what Montas has done in all the starts, he's given his team exactly what they traded for, and he's done an outstanding job.
One of the things that's really impressed me, or maybe has really started to take shape now over six starts with the Brewers is the fact that he's really not using the splitter all that much with the Brewers. Now, for good reason, it wasn't the same splitter that it used to be back when he was in Oakland A ever since this shoulder surgery. He doesn't get as much chase on it. Folks know it's coming. But today, what I loved is he only threw 9 splitters. He threw 25 four-seamers, 25 sinkers, and 24 cutters. And if there's one thing that the Brewers love, it's multiple fastballs. And the fact that he was able to keep hitters off balance with those pitches, 3 whiffs on both the four-seamer and the cutter, and when you combine against his fastballs today, they went 5 for 17, which is just shy of 300 when you really think about it, but a lot of ground balls today. He got a couple of chances at the play, got a double play in the third inning as well. Overall, I'll take those numbers in a home run ballpark when he only allowed 1 home run, had 1 robbed. If he's going to keep relying on his fastballs like this under the direction of Chris Hook and Jim Henderson and Walker McKinven, he's going to continue to unlock something here down the stretch.
Well, I really like the way he's been going on for a while. He's been, one thing, if you talk, you look at what Montez has done each and every time he's been in a ballgame, what has he done? He's been very aggressive with his fastball. I think when you look at what when he gets into certain counts, you can kind of tell he's got on his mind that, hey, I'm going to go for a strikeout here. And he reaches back and gets a little bit. But he stays consistently in the strike zone. The splitter, he shows the splitter. When you go out and you say, hey, what does this guy have? What are we going to look for in this room? The splitter always will come up. That means you can, if you go out there and you throw it and you show it, even if it isn't that effective, that it doesn't go over the plate, you show that you have it. And other teams know that. And I just think he uses all his pitches. But he's been very aggressive in the strike zone and throwing to the corners really well. And I think that's the biggest difference that I see in him when he goes out there. We know the last game he got in a couple innings, a couple pitches were strikes. They weren't called. They were called balls. He didn't let them bother him. He just went out and pitched. Tonight he was dominating. I thought he pitched really well.
And also, one thing to keep in mind, he's facing the team that he was with for the majority of the season. They know his tendencies and they know what he's got. Makes it a little bit more difficult. Before I forget to mention him, a big league W for Aaron Ashby. I mean, this kid, he made it stressful on himself, to be fair. He got out of that jam in the 7th inning after a leadoff walk to Luke Maley and then a single by Steer. But he struck out De La Cruz. He got Friedel to ground out. Then he struck out Ty France. And then he had a cruise control 8th inning. Aaron Ashby went from, oh man, he's got an 8 ERA in AAA to, oh man, is he going to have like the 7th inning in the playoffs? This has been an incredible turnaround for Ashby.
Yeah, he's turned the ball very well. I really like the way he's been going. He's, again, being a little bit aggressive in that strike zone, but his breaking ball is fantastic. He throws it to ball spots to the spots. When you go back and look and see, what do we need from Aaron Ashby to be competitive? He needs to throw the fastball to both sides for strikes. He had his fastball, I guess, couple at 98 tonight. He saw his fastballs back, but he's really been locating the ball really well. I think as you go along here in the big leagues and you get back and get that temperament of pitching in the big leagues, I think everything is going to fall in place for him. But that, I really like the way he's been throwing his breaking ball for strikes. He's using it at any time, not afraid to, but quality of pitching starts with the fastball. He's really been doing a good job with that.
It's been, I just tipped my cap. We talked to Aaron Ashby in Brewers Weekly this week back on Thursday's taping and just how great he feels and how he touched 99 tonight. It's really exciting to have that. Those 2 innings changed the game because you knew you had Devin available in the 9th. And we'll talk about Devin in the next segment. But, man, I thought the Brewers, if you're going to script it, this is how you would script it. Now, maybe you would wish to score 10-0, but this is how it went, and the Brewers got the victory. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Devin Williams and some offense conversation next on 620 WTMJ.
WTMJ's Greg Matzik here for Holiday Automotive in Fond du Lac. It's where to gear up, score deep, close out savings, and get more for your trade on a new Chevy, Buick, or GMC. Connect with Holiday and enjoy their straightforward, simple, and pressure-free buying approach. Find the one that's right for you from a giant selection of choices. Score deep, close out savings now on many Wisconsin favorites. Then stack that savings with other terrific offers, from low finance rates to generous customer cash to lower your bottom line and your payment. I've been driving Holiday for years. The team culture, passion for excellence, and upbeat positive vibe is what delights and makes fans of guests who tell others of their experience. And I know this, you'll be in great hands with Wisconsin's number one Buick and GMC dealer on your side. Accolades are per 2023 Buick and GMC zone sales records. Find yours, score deep, close out savings, and discover the difference for yourself at Holiday Chevrolet Buick and GMC in Fond du Lac and anytime at holidaygm.com. It's worth the trip.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go, always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us, too. Let's also address the elephant in the room in a 5-4 win over the Reds. Brewers did not do well with runners in scoring position today. Not in the slightest. 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position. They had their opportunities tonight, and in the end, it was the long ball that got it done. Three-run homer from Willy Adames, his 12th three-run homer of the season. He's now homered in four consecutive games, actually, if I think about it, going back to Thursday. And then the Churio home run in the ninth inning was virtually all the offense today for the crew. I mean, the home run ball being back is a welcome sight. They also had six walks today, which continues their MO for what they do of drawing patient at-bats. But you could say the Brewers left some out there. Who cares? They got the dub. Overall, the offense has still been in really, really good health lately.
It has been. I tell you, look at how they're going out each every day. One thing about this team is that's why I call them their name 27, because they play hard for 27 hours. They go out there and they do all the little things they have to do. And swinging the bat, they get some big hits. They know that if they get later in the game, I think when they get to that sixth inning, seventh inning, they're close to winning that ball game. They turn it up a notch, and they have the great bullpen, but also on the offensive side of the ball, they really swing the bat. They work the ball, pitches for walks. They bunt. You saw some good bunts tonight, and they're doing all the little things they have to do to win ball games. And this is a team that goes out and just plays, and they never. I don't think you can go out and say that, oh, they're giving games. They're not giving games. They're going out deserving games. That's the way they play.
It's been exciting to see Willy Adames turn it on here in these final 26 games, as he's quietly got some of the most playoff experience on this team heading into the postseason here for the Brew Crew, because with 26 games to go, this team's going to the playoffs, guys. I mean, they're about to be above 500 by the end of the week. They have a legitimate shot at 95 wins. You know, they've got 26 games to go. If they can go 15-11, that's a 95 win season. That's really amazing, given all the prognosticators, including myself. I doubted these guys early in the season too. But don't make it a habit to go 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position. Let's just put that aside. That's just kind of correcting after getting all those stat padding from yesterday against Luke Maley. Let's put it like that. Hey, Devin Williams, holy cow! Give this dude a week, because it has been a heavy, heavy, heavy workload. He's now pitched in back-to-back games. He's been throwing a ton as of late. Today, he needed the total of 32 pitches to get through the ninth inning. He had a couple walks and a hit batter in there. But didn't allow a hit, didn't allow a run, still locked down the save. It has been loud and heavy real quick for him coming off the IL. I would imagine we're not going to see him again until maybe even Wednesday against the Cardinals, given there's an off day next Thursday. Because, man, I'm impressed with what he's able to do on fumes against the top of this Reds order to get another save.
Yeah, you know, and I think he's still a work in progress. When we talked, remember, a couple of weeks ago, they had brought Devin in against the Cardinals. They brought him in 2 days in a row, and the second day he struggled a little bit and had some walks and ended up losing that ball game. But I think with Devin Williams, he's a guy who has to go out there and feel comfortable with all his pitches. It doesn't seem like he's got that great command of the fastball. He's locating it real well. He's trying to throw it to good spots, but he's not locating it real well. Once he gets that down and gets that confidence that, hey, I can throw that fastball in the outside corner anytime I want, I can throw it on the inside part of the plate, that means a straight change that he throws Is it going to be definitely a good pitch? Little cutter now that he has, that slider, if you want to call it that, he has, is going to get good. But I'm going to tell you what, that fastball, when he can keep it down, it's just going to be very good. And then throw the airbender when he gets ahead is going to be devastating. I just see he's expanding the strike zone a little bit too much. And as he gets along, gets some more work, he's going to get more in sync and he's going to get that much better.
I agree. Well, let me give you some numbers on this, too. It's about the back-to-backs as he's been building himself back up to get used to pitching in more frequent roles. This is the third time now he's pitched in a back-to-back scenario this year. And total on the season, he has 8 walks. Well, 5 of them have come pitching in these 3 games. 5 of his 8 walks have been on back-to-back. So that's where that comes in. That's why I'm not worried about his walk rate, because some of these have been freak games, especially that Cardinal game when he had the loss, walking in a run. And then today, a couple of walks and a hit batter made it stressful on himself too. But as he gets, you know, that used to that fatigue and that feeling, I mean, he was electric on that back-to-back against the Dodgers. Kind of since that, it's been a lot of use still in trying to give him a breather. He did get 6 days off between that Cardinals blown save and getting the save against the Giants, but now all of a sudden he's pitched in 3 of the last 4 days. He's going to be down for a couple of days. Managing him and giving McGill a chance to get saves, and I imagine tomorrow with Tobias Myers on the mound, try to get some more length out of him, but Bryce Wilson needs to pitch in a game tomorrow too, because he can give you length as well, as this Brewers bullpen is really trying to make it to this off day next Thursday.
You know, going over to Devin, you know, and I said earlier that he was a work in progress. I think if you went up to Devin and say, here's what's the one thing that you feel right now that you got to get more comfortable at, he can tell you execution. He can tell you that I got to be able to command both sides of the plate with my fastball, ride it up high when I get way ahead of hitters. I got to throw my regular changeup for good strikes. That makes that airbender that much better. I haven't seen him throw a lot of breaking ball sliders. When he first came out, the first couple of games, he tested it. I haven't seen that pitch that much. I think it'll be a pitch that he could really use. But, boy, I think before he gets that pitch to be used, he's really got to feel confident in it. When Devin Williams can get ahead of hitters, expand the strike zone, that's when he's most efficient. That's when he goes out there and he has his good quick innings, because you can get the airbender working. Throw it down in the plate and make him swing and miss it or hit it on the ground. That's his effectiveness. So I think he's just got a ways to go. But I think if you asked him right now, what is the one thing where I asked him, it'll be execution.
It's been a ride. It's good to have him back, but let's make sure that he's ready to go come postseason time. Tobias Myers gets the ball tomorrow, Augie. He's been a pleasant surprise, obviously, for the Brewers. August wasn't exactly a month that he would maybe write completely home about. He had a great start against the Reds at home last time he saw them. Otherwise, some shorter outings in there, too, here in the month of August. But yeah, a team that he's pitched pretty well against this season. What are you looking forward to most from Tobias tomorrow?
Well, first of all, he's pitching. When you pitch a second time through in a short period of time, that other team understands you a little bit better. I think that's a big thing, that where you have to really go out and find out how you want to pitch these guys. You got to execute your pitches. You got to pitch ahead. And I think when you talk about Myers pitching the best, what he does is he really commands the strike zone really well with his fastball. Then he uses a changeup, and he's got that good off-speed break and stuff, that slider that he's had for the last 4 starts. But with him personally, he's got to get ahead with strikes. This team might be aggressive towards him. They know he throws strikes. They know he can throw his fastball over. They might go up their swing. It's going to get really interesting. But if he commands the strike zone the way he has been, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I love it. Jerry Augustine joining us on the program. We'll talk to you more later this week for the homestand with the Cardinals and the Rockies. Augie, have a great rest of your Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, good talking with you. Great win for the Brewers. They got a chance to sweep. Boy, they're sitting in a great place. All they have to go from now on is play good, solid baseball like they have been, and they're going to be in a good spot. I'm looking forward to the Cardinal game series. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch, so we'll see you Tuesday.
Awesome. Fantastic. 24 games above 500 for the crew. What a world. Let me get to some of these texts here waiting in the wings. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the win. All right. 3 of 3 so far against the Reds. 1 more tomorrow. They've already won the season series. They're 9-3 against the Reds this year. go for the four-game mop. A mop-pertunity, in the words of Cespedes Family Barbecues, Jordan Schusterman and Jake Mintz. If you're not familiar, I've said it before, you know, a sweep, three-game sweep, you sweep a series, right? But what's a four-game sweep? What's when you have a big mess, you don't go for the broom, you go for the mop. It's a mop-pertunity tomorrow for a Brewers to get a four-game sweep against the Reds. A couple of these texts here, in the words of Jeff Daniels, Jake Bowers, you totally redeemed yourself after the golden sombrero. Devin's walk rate is the highest of his career since he came back. Reason for concern, a small sample, as I just alluded to there. Small sample, and again, it's the back-to-back days that have been his bugaboo because of the fact that he's still getting that scar tissue built up of just like understanding what the fatigue feels like to this point in the year. He hasn't had a full season to understand what his body needs to do to bounce back. It's not like, oh, he's never bounced back before. It's just like, all right, getting into the rhythm of the season and the stressful high leverage and everything that comes with that. But he's, I'd have to imagine he's not going to pitch till at least Wednesday. Tuesday, maybe. But I think Wednesday. Give him a few days off. And maybe the Brewers can help him out by getting some more runs on the board and not going 1-for-15 with runners in scoring position. This text from Doug, Brewers have the deal of a lifetime with Churio. This is what superstars do, and he will soon be one. This was a genius move. In case you missed it or you forgot what the move actually is, Jackson Churio's preseason signing his contract extension to buy out a couple of his arbitration years, also some team options at the end of it. He's guaranteed $82 million over the life of this deal. He's guaranteed for 8 years. Okay, 8 years through his age 28 season. But furthermore, the Brewers have team options on his age 28 and 29 seasons for $25 million in each of those years. So he's guaranteed $80 million for these first 8 years of the deal. $2 million buyout if they don't want him. It also, the option value can increase based on MVP voting as well. So keep that in mind, too, of how much money he could be worth in that team option later in the career. But the point is, the Brewers are buying out two of his free agency seasons, his first two free agency seasons, and his arbitration years to know exactly what they're going to be paying him. Genius move. Simply put, a genius move by Matt Arnold and company to have the guts to do it because it's really paying off now. We're still very early in this. I mean, if he's going to play eight seasons with the Brewers, I mean, that's the better part of 1,200 games. We're a little over 120 into this with Jackson Churio. So we're 10% into his guaranteed contract with the Brewers. So absolutely genius stuff there. This one, not going to call tonight, but what are you wondering is the future of Churio? Somebody says that he's going to be Braun or Yount. What would you say is the ceiling? 30-30? 40-40? I think 40-40 putting on anybody's a really big axe. I mean, I know the stolen base environment is a little bit easier these days. 30-30, being a perennial 30-30 player is super valuable. I mean, a player that's like, it reminds me of Mookie Betts. Does a little bit of everything, and offensively that is. Now, Mookie's probably a better defender at this point in his career, but remember, Mookie was an infielder before he switched to the outfielder and switched seamlessly. Churio still got a little bit of ways to go defensively in the outfield, but being a perennial 30-30 player, the Brewers are going to be underpaying him over the life of this deal. But nonetheless, kudos to him to having the guts to take that deal. You never turn down your first fortune, as some would say. This one, what do you think is responsible for Montas pitching much better with the Brewers than he did with the Reds? Simply put, to me, it's the most important free agent upcoming here for the Brewers, and that's Chris Hook. Chris Hook and the Brewers pitching development staff have been incredible all season long. They deserve so much credit for what they've been able to extract out of Colin Ray to this point of the year, what they've been able to extract out of Tobias Myers, what they've been able to extract out of Freddie Peralta to get his season back on track and to get Aaron Ashby's season. I mean, the list goes on of how many success stories there are with the Brewers for Chris Hook's tutelage, and he's a free agent to be. So let's make sure the Brewers can keep him around or have a contingency plan in place because, again, they love guys with multiple fastballs. We talked about it earlier of how much he used the fastball, the cutter, and the sinker today and how it really worked for him in the contest. And less splitters. You know, the Reds just kind of said, and Derek Johnson, old friend, said more splitters, more splitters, more splitters. And guys were just spitting on it. They weren't swinging at the pitch. So that's something to keep in mind for Frankie Montas. He has changed his repertoire a little bit. Or Aaron Civale's cutter has been so much better. Or the fact that Tobias Myers has found this slider. There are so many examples of success stories with the Brewers because they all built off multiple fastballs and fastball command. None of these guys blow you away with velo, but in the words of Chris Hook, and I would encourage you to scroll back on your podcast feeds, Brewers All Access, I had a great, great 30-minute conversation with Chris Hook during spring training. I had a good chat with him last week, too, on Sunday's Brewers warm-up, but so much to talk about with Chris Hook during spring training, kind of laying out what the season had in store. Really encourage you. He was really open about what the Brewers process is and everything that's going on. My thanks to what Chris Hook has brought to the table with our content here at WTMJ. Highlights, how about that? That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Reds, game 3 of 4 in the final series of the year against the Red Legs. This one had Frankie Montas going against his former team and the always difficult bullpen game on the other side. And in fact, they started with a couple of leverage relievers. Fernando Cruz started the game and he was getting strikeouts plenty. He got 5 Ks in his 2 innings of work. Then Buck Farmer would follow and he would not have as much success as Cruz did because in the 3rd inning, the Brewers formed a mini rally. One-out double by Jackson Churio. He stole 3rd. William Contreras drew a walk, but Bowers with K. With 2 outs, Mr. Three-Pointer, Willie Adames at the plate.
First pitch. Drilled into center. This is deep. Friedel's going back onto the warning track at the wall. It is gone! Another 3-run home run, Willie Adames. He's a machine. He did it last night. He's done it 12 times this season with 2 men on base. The Brewers take a 3-0 lead with a huge swing from Adames in the 3rd inning.
Josh Maurer's call here on WTMJ. He's now 1 shy of the MLB record for most 3-run home runs in a single season. However, the Reds would respond. They would respond in the 5th inning thanks to a 2-run single off the bat of Spencer Steer against Frankie Montas, but he would get De La Cruz to ground out and Friedel to ground out to end that frame. As we move to the 6th inning, the Brewers' offense got back to work. A leadoff single from Adames. Then a double from Blake Perkins. And Rhys Hoskins would end up popping out, though, with runners on 2nd and 3rd. So the infield comes in. You've got a cannon at shortstop with Ellie De La Cruz. Good things happen when you put the ball in play.
And a bouncer right to De La Cruz. Fields it. He's going to concede the run. He throws to first and takes care of Mitchell. And Garrett gets Adames home on an RBI ground out. And De La Cruz now with his hands on his hips wondering if he should have come home with that one.
I mean, it was a big chopper. It was a tweener. And he was mad because it was his friend Willie Adames coming in to score. So the Brewers lead 4-2. However, in the bottom of that inning, a 2-run home run tied the game with 2 outs with one out, for the Reds from Ahmed Rosario. And they had a chance to actually take the lead if it wasn't for Blake Perkins patrolling center.
2-2 pitch, fly ball deep center. Perkins going back. Perkins at the track. At the wall, he reaches up, and Blake Perkins got another! Blake Perkins with one of the catches of the year! Not one person in this ballpark thought he had a shot off the bat. Except for Blake Perkins. Exceptional. We are still tied as we head to the 7th.
Put some gold on that Rawlings as Blake Perkins robs another home run. But this game still very much in the balance, and the Brewers bullpen thin. They hand the ball to Aaron Ashby in the 7th inning. 2 men aboard. Stressful situation.
The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 98-mile-an-hour heat out away from France. Goodbye, says Aaron Ashby.
You want to see me do it again? How about Ashby in the 8th?
Again with the 3-2. And a swing and a miss. Two-seam fastball off the outside edge. Hines went after it and came up empty.
And we're still not done with maybe the biggest highlights of perhaps the season. In the top of the 9th inning, old friend Justin Wilson on the mound for the Reds. With 1 out and nobody aboard, Jackson Churio introduced himself to Cincinnati.
3-2 pitch. Churio, a high fly ball. Deep right field. Rosario back. Track. Bye-bye baseball. Action Jackson. His 17th of the season. And the Brewers on top 5-4 in the 9th.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. But yet, there would still be more drama. In the bottom of the ninth, Devin Williams, working for the third time in the last 4 days, struck out Marte, walked Stevenson, struck out Steer, walked De La Cruz, hit by pitch to TJ Friedel. Bases loaded, two outs, facing Ty France for the second consecutive day.
The 1-2. And a ground ball, gobbled up by Bowers, to his feet, foot race to the bag, he'll win it, and the Brewers hold on, and they win 5-4 in a thriller here tonight in Cincinnati.
Bowers dove to his right, saved the game despite being 1-for-5 with 4 Ks. He brought the glove and stood up tall for get the victory. Wow, 5-4, they've won the series, go for the mop tomorrow. We'll preview that coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
One last second question here at the buzzer from Aaron in Illinois. I agree with you guys. Churio's a superstar. Love the mop as well. What is the Crew's record this year against the National League Central? Funny you ask there, Aaron. The Brewers have one of the best divisional records in all of baseball against their own division. The Brewers are now 29-16, and all that's remaining are the three this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, against the Cardinals, and the three at the very end of the month, end of September, that is, against the Pirates. That's it. Everything in the middle is Giants, Diamondbacks, or excuse me, Rockies, Giants, Diamondbacks, Phillies, Diamondbacks, then finally the Pirates, and then you finish with the Mets. So they're already almost done with their division record. It's amazing what they've done to this point for the Brewers to be in control. All right, get to sleep fast because we're on the air in about, you know, first pitch is in about 12 hours. So get ready to go. We're back on the air in 11 hours or so. Brewers warm-up will begin at 10 a.m. Central Time. First pitch is scheduled for 11:10 a.m. Central Time. Once again, it will be Tobias Myers getting the ball for the Crew. TBA. For the Reds, it could be Jacob Junis. Just a heads up. It could be Junis since he hasn't pitched these last couple games. He did have a start against the A's during their midweek series. Again, 10 a.m. warm-up, 11:10 first pitch. Lane and Josh will have you covered with the call. Then I'm also with you after the game tomorrow and on Labor Day. If you're out on the lake soaking up your last couple minutes of summertime, we're on the air once again at noon with Brewers warm-up, leading into a 1:10 first pitch on Monday, and then another post-game show on Monday as we get ready for the final homestand against the Cardinals, three games against the Redbirds, and then off day Thursday, and boy, does this bullpen really need it. Wow, 5-4, they win again. They're 24 games above 500 as we enter September 1st, just like everybody expected. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel, and for Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.